Hi, it's Terry from No Crumbs Left, and I'm sitting here across the table from my dear lifelong friend, Lori Bell. And we have shared a lot. She's absolutely what I like to call in my circle of five. And what we're going to talk about today is goodbyes. We're all doing some kind of goodbye all of the time. This has certainly been my summer of goodbye with Lucy coming home, having an internship, my daughter Lucy, and then spreading her wings and moving to California. So it was the summer of goodbye. And as I unintentionally sort of shared this on Instagram, I was stunned at like the reaction, at people's interest, at people's goodbye stories, how much people loved my saying goodbye to Lucy every day. And we actually did it one day. And then, you know, we did it over and over and over again. So we're going to talk about goodbyes. And Lori, I know recently you gave this amazing talk, and you can tell us where and tell us a little bit about it.
Hi, Ter. So happy to be doing this with you. I have worked on goodbyes for my entire life. And my daughter Martha was about to graduate from high school. And my daughter went to boarding school, this wonderful place up in Los Olivos called Midland. And it's a small boarding school, very much like a farm, this really magical, we call it Hillbilly Hogwarts. And so Martha was about to graduate, and as I would take her to school or we would go do something, I would drive up and I'd say, this is my last time I'm going to be doing this with Martha. This is my last time I'm going to be walking her here. This is the last time I'm going to be driving back down this road before it's the last time. So it brought up a lot for me. And I was then asked by the students to give the speech, the parent speech at the school. So I really started to think about what it was I wanted to talk about. And I realized that for me what resonated also, because it was graduation, was goodbyes. So that's where it started.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I think it started, my mom died when I was very young, and I was unable to say goodbye. It was a goodbye I wasn't able to have. And I think that stayed with me my entire life, the ability or the lack of ability to have that. And I think I've shied away in some ways from goodbyes. You know, one of the things that's really wonderful is how much our friends can teach us. And I've gotten so much of that from you. You know, you had, and you talk about your mom and your dad. And it was before we had kids. And you always were able to speak and say things about how you felt. And it was something I had a hard time with. So at some point in our friendship, I went west and I was going for a project to California and I was going to be there for a couple of months. And you said to me, I think you're really not coming back. And I said, oh no, Tara, I'm coming back. And I think I knew I wasn't coming back, but it was so hard for me to say I wasn't coming back and to have the goodbye from you, from my dad, from my home. And of course I'm still in California.
I was right. It was a goodbye.
Something years ago, you know, but it was one of those that in some ways wasn't a good goodbye because I didn't know that it was a goodbye. And it's taken me a long time to find the good goodbye.
Yeah, that was hard. I remember you leaving and I was so heartbroken because I knew and I said, you're not coming back. And you kept saying, oh, I'm definitely coming back. And the truth was you didn't. But we've been so amazing. I mean, we are really chosen sisters, you know, have been 35 years of friendship. We've been through everything together. You know, we knew each other way before we had kids, and we both love each other's kids like they're our own. We call them cousins, even though they're chosen cousins. So we've shared a lot, you know, and we've shared also hellos and goodbyes for each other, you know, and held them in sort of the best regard and the most respect.
I'll never forget getting divorced and not really talking to my ex, and you ran into him someplace. Talk about we hadn't had a good goodbye. And Terry said, I spoke to him, and I feel like we had a healing. Like, I got to have my good goodbye. And it was I was like, Terry, I didn't have the goodbye. She said, well, I think we did.
Right.
Because she did it for me. So these are the ways we help each other in some ways. And you know what? It's like having that friend who'll make the call for you when you don't want to make it yourself.
Right.
And so, you know.
I remember running into him and saying, Lori, you guys have had a healing. And you're like, okay, well, I wasn't present for the healing. Yeah, it was good. It was a Terry moment.
A very good Terry moment.
So, Lori, what is a good goodbye?
It's interesting to me. I think a good goodbye is trying not to leave things unsaid, whether they be good or whether they be sad, whether they be hard. It's not staying away from it because it's tough. And it doesn't mean it isn't easy all the time, you know. But I think that we have goodbyes at so many stages in our lives. I think that, you know, and we don't honor them. And these books remain open. And I think, you know, even now I look at the kids and they're on Instagram and which we love, and Facebook, which we love. But there are ways in which they think that they've had goodbyes or hellos, and these things are just open and nothing gets closed. And so, you know, in some ways we think we have these great goodbyes because we're aware of what people are doing, but we're not really there. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying goodbye, and we think a thumbs up is expressing something, and people, you know, it's not really. So for me, I think that certainly having you as a person who really, with Lucy, your goodbyes are so meaningful and so touching, and we recognize that in the everyday, a goodbye is an important thing. Because you don't know when you're not going to be able to say goodbye to someone either. And so whether you can say it a million more times or just one more time, I know that I was able to say goodbye to my father. That was a real gift for me.
Right.
My father had Alzheimer's. And, you know, there were a number of goodbyes. Him losing his memory, him not cooking anymore. My father cooked a lot. Right. And so Terry knew my dad. You knew my dad?
Yes, and his amazing food.
And so it was losing that. And that was a goodbye. And we saw how he got down to a few dishes and then no dishes. We saw that he was a man who loved to read, and he stopped reading. So I went through these goodbyes with him. And they weren't necessarily even by choice. And I can't say that he was able to have the goodbye, but I was able to have the goodbye to who my father was and try and learn to embrace what happened for him and his losses. I know that with my kids, when my son was in high school, he left high school and you know, he came home and then he traveled. And I kind of felt like when Oliver went to do other things, I thought, he's not coming home again.
Right.
Now, of course, that's a little different because it's a natural one, but
it is a goodbye just the same.
It is a goodbye just the same. So, you know, there's sadness and happiness with goodbyes too. So, you know, I just had another goodbye as well. You had yours with Lucy mm-hmm. moving west. My daughter has gone to college, and I dropped her off. And, you know, I'm kind of obviously a famous non-crier. And as I left her, I was kind of looking at people with disdain who were hugging their kids and boo-hooing. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And, of course, I dropped her off, and I called my friend Ron, and I was on. And I said, I think I've saved up every tear in my life for this moment.
Yeah, right.
Because I felt it so deeply. And I felt it in not just a sad way, but look at my girl.
Yeah, in a beautiful way, too.
Look at my girl and who she is. And I will say that I didn't even want to leave, but then we didn't even have a real good goodbye, but we had a good goodbye because we've had a good life to this moment. And it's so wonderful. And, you know, but she went to go get breakfast, and then I was going to take her to practice. And a few minutes later, she calls and she says, well, the team's all walking over together. And I said, well, of course you're going to go walk with them. But that was our goodbye.
Right.
So I was driving, and I saw this group of girls, and I started filming them with my iPhone, thinking it was Martha and being so touched by the moment.
Right.
And as I got closer, it wasn't her.
It was somebody else.
It was somebody else.
One of the hardest goodbyes forever is the going to college goodbye. I mean, there was taking Patrick, You know, I think in many ways Patrick didn't want to go to school. I don't know that Patrick was 100% ready to go. That goodbye was just so hard. It's like, you know, gut-wrenching. And then, you know, 4 years later, taking Lucy, and nothing could have prepared me. You know, I mean, of course, the entire summer is the summer of loss and all of that. But that saying goodbye and saying goodbye at school, it's the most bereft I think I've ever felt. And I remember, like, walking to the car, and I was with Patrick, and I started crying so hard. And it kind of scared him, you know, and he just had never seen me that way. And I was just sobbing. And Patrick started texting my sisters, you, and suddenly I'm getting all of these texts. Cookie from school, where, how you doing, Terry? Just checking in on you today. It was like, and all of a sudden, all of these people, just so many people.
I got that text from Patrick, and it touched my heart so deeply. Yeah. His desire to take care of you and be there in a moment. And you know what? That's an important moment, too.
It is. And he basically said, I feel like we're all saying goodbye to our childhood today. He said, somehow Lucy going to school, this is like, you know, this is the goodbye of my childhood, too. And he was so lovely. He sort of took care of me and took me to his house and he made me tea. And he said in the morning, I'm not going to have you take a cab to the airport, because he lived close. And you know how he sleeps in. He said, I'm going to drive you, you know, because I don't want you to, you know, to do that. So he was so sweet. And, you know, I come from a family like, you know, my dad always cried when he said goodbye to us. We used to have a family vacation, and every year we would say goodbye on the family vacation. And you know, this could be the last trip. This is the last whatever. You know, you do that forever, and eventually, they are the last. You know, so I feel like I've always been a part of. I've had sort of that, just grandfathered in, and sort of the grace of that experience of my parents really getting a goodbye and celebrating it. We just knowing when you have those special moments, going, this is really, really special. And I felt that way this summer with Lucy. And when I first started sharing, it was just like, oh, I'm going to let people know, you know, what Lucy's doing. But then when people were like, well, could you do the goodbye every day? So every single day I filmed Lucy leaving, every single day. And I would get hundreds of messages of people, you know, from everything from, I want that goodbye, to, this is our family goodbye. This is how we say goodbye.
You have some really great ones.
Oh, I mean, all kinds of just wonderful ways of people, you know, sharing their own family goodbyes, you know, from throwing water over your, you know, shoulder, to salt, to the three honks, you know, just it's important. And the whole summer, I could have never, ever known what it would be, and that all of these people would want to join along on the stories, would you know, when is our last goodbye, you know, finally having the goodbye, you know, Lucy's going out the door, Lucy's sobbing, I'm sobbing. But it was certainly the summer, you know, of goodbye.
No, it really was a summer of goodbyes. And so I was really lucky to be here for some of that. And I got to watch you bring the tea up and pack the lunch, which she would often bring back
uneaten. Yeah.
These wonderful lunches that people would say, I wish I had that lunch. What a wonderful lunch. The breakfast, the lunch. And it was just really, it was for me, joyful and sad. It was just, it's such a wonderful connection. And we're so lucky to have these connections. And, you know, when I dropped Martha off, after I got off the phone, I went to this bookstore, the school bookstore, and they had scissors and paper and bookstores, and I mean, bookstores are books, and it took me back to the times when we would make collages, and it's just like everything I'd look at and I'd go, oh, that reminds me of Martha. Oh, that reminds me of Martha. Oh, that reminds me of when Oliver, and it's like the times, it all goes so quickly. You know, in so many ways. And I know that every time I get on the plane, and it's happened to me for the last 10 years, I feel teary. It's like, you know, my kids are always like, you still call Chicago home, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what I do? They said, you know, it's so important for you to let people know where you're from. And, you know, though I've had that, it, you know, the goodbyes are still, they still are tough. They still are tough. I mean, I'm going to go back home soon, and it's still like I'm already thinking, I'm going back to what? What am I going back to? You know?
Well, you're going back to new beginnings, because that's the other part of goodbyes.
Exactly.
It's the new beginnings. You know, I mean, certainly I've had big goodbyes from, you know, both my kids leaving home, you know, to, you know, being divorced, to having my parents die, you know. So, and it's like I'm finishing a big project that's I'm coming to goodbye on. So there are the big goodbyes that are huge, and then there are the small goodbyes, the ways our lives are transitioning all of the time. So part of that is, of course, is celebrating the hello. I mean, that's part of the trick. And I know you have some ideas on how to say a good goodbye. Part of a good goodbye for me is, well, of course, you know, who was it that said grieve so you can do other things, is, you know, just to allow yourself to be sad about it, but also to be celebrating what is new. What am I going toward? What is happening? What am I ushering in? What's new in my life? And I especially like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, I've always loved a good obit. Mm-hmm. You know, from the time I was
a kid. You have. You were like, you read obits as like a kid.
It's like some people read the sports section. Yes. Some people read fashion. I was reading obits. And, you know, just there's also the New York Times, which every year at the end of the year, they do this thing called A Life Well Lived. And it features 20 or so people and someone writes about them and their life. And it's an extraordinary thing. You know what? To me, the gift of a good goodbye is also honoring the life and recognizing how important it is to live.
Right.
And how important it is to be present and how important it is to honor what you feel in the moment so that you can have the good goodbye. So that, you know, you're not just all rushing around and giving these hugs. And the hugs are good, but really living through it. You know, it's like I always thought that it would be tough for me to figure out how to say goodbye, because they say what we come from what we know. And because I didn't know it, I didn't know how I would get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is possible to learn. And part of it is in having great friendships, is in, for me, with my kids, was in being able to be with my father those last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Was in, you know, it's not even necessarily just with people, it's with work. It's with, you know, I've changed careers a number of times. I've had different things that have happened where I've said goodbye to one thing and maybe missed it, but transitioned into something that I could say hello to again. I don't know. You know, one of the things I have done is I made these friends with neighbors who are in their 90s, a number of women.
Oh, yes.
Who I've gotten very close to. And these women have had lives. They've been really wonderful. One woman wrote The Menopause Section of Our Bodies Ourselves in the 70s. She was part of a collective in Boston and did that. Another woman, you know, went to Northwestern. She's 96. So she went when a lot of women weren't doing that and worked for many years. And another raised her kids. And people have just come from all these different places. And they've had lives all around the world and seen things and seen people. And these are people who didn't know each other 5 years ago.
Right.
And they've become so important to each other. And I think of all the goodbyes they've had, all the people they've loved who are no longer here, all the things they've loved. And they're now all, they all have rooms,
mm-hmm.
lovely rooms.
Right.
But I went and I was talking, I said, how did you decide what to keep to one of my friends? And Louise said, you know, the stuff just isn't important anymore. You know, I have a few photos that mean something to me, and I have this piece of jewelry that my husband gave me, and really, you know, the few books that I love. And I've said goodbye to those things. My children have them, and they live on through them.
Right.
And that's one of the things that happens for you, is that...
Right, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. Patrick, you know, just moved into a new place, and he's got room. And I, you know, have saved things that are family things that are important. And I'm getting a truck, and, you know, stuff is heading out there. So it's interesting, because I'm going through my home, and I realize, like, I love the idea of the kids having things, you know, in their spot that will, you know, just bring family all into it. So it's exciting and actually kind of wonderful. I love the adventure of sort of cleaning out. And, you know, Lucy's going to get a table and chairs that was at my dad's, and Patrick's going to get a painting that was my mom's. And it's just really heartwarming to me, you know. So it's like I'm saying goodbye to one phase, but I'm absolutely saying hello to another phase. And I'm looking forward to that phase of spending time with them in California. I mean, one thing I realized growing up is family is about gathering, but you need a place to gather. We always gathered at my mom and dad's. We had holidays there. I mean, we always, it was like Sundays or whatever. It was always at my parents'. So when, you know, then my mom died, she was really the heart for us of the family. So we were all like kind of flailing, what do we do now? And then my dad, you know, lived for, you know, whatever, 15 more years after my mom died, if you can believe that, which I can't. We always thought he would go first. And then when we sold the house and we said goodbye to the house, I mean, it was, we emptied out the entire house. What we did was, rather than auction, we simply repurposed absolutely everything that they had. We either donated it, somebody in the family took it, a family friend took it. So we just repurposed all of their lives. And it was so, you know, they'd lived in that house for 60 years. My dad saved every letter he'd ever gotten. We really went through. And when I drove away, I mean, I have never gone back. I don't think that I could. And what's interesting is that the people that live there, the woman is lovely. She'll send me pictures of the garden. She'll check in with me. She found a rock the other day in the garden, a big rock. And she said, Terry, tell me about this. She texted. And I said, that's my mom. That's just my mom's way of, like, protecting you at your house, sending love, finding that rock of mine. I mean, someone said, well, did she offer to give it to you back? And I said, oh, well, no. I mean, it was something my mother left for her. I feel thrilled that this rock of my mother's is in that beautiful yard that they had. So she, you know, sent me pictures. And that makes me feel so happy that a new family, I mean, I come from three girls, and then a new family of three girls, that such lovely people have bought this house, that they're repurposing, you know, the energy, the life, that life moves forward. It is amazing for me, and it makes me, like, I could just cry thinking about it. It makes me unbelievably happy that these three girls are growing up in the same house that my sisters and I did. So, you know, it's full circle all the time.
It's really a gift. It's really a gift. I, you know, currently look at things in the news, and I see all these people, and it was something I mentioned in my speech, and it's the idea of families that are separated who don't get to have a goodbye, these kids who are being taken from their families and detained. And I can't live in my life with thinking about just my goodbyes that I'm lucky enough to have. And good goodbye, bad goodbye, any goodbye, they're torn from family members, and they haven't been, you know, brought together. And I think in my life that though I cried when I dropped my daughter off, and it was such a happy moment, it was a tender moment, that there are so many people who don't even get to have that.
Yes.
And that breaks my heart in many ways. And it obviously it takes me back to, you know, though it was very different when my mother got sick, you know, I just found out recently, and I hadn't known this, that when my mother got sick, I was five. She realized she was sick. She didn't say much, but they put her in the hospital right away. And it was 1967 when she got put into the hospital, end of 67. So I turned six when she was in the hospital. They let me go visit her. They snuck me in to see her for my birthday, which was in February, and she died April 1st. And so I didn't see her. And I think about, though now I understand that, but that's in my DNA, and that's part of what was part of me not being able to say goodbye and leaving a sweater wherever I went, or leaving something because it was me saying I was here.
Right. You do that. Yeah.
You know.
So the situation was, like, was it for a couple of months you didn't really see your mother?
It was from the time she went to the hospital at the end of 1967 until she died April 1st of 68, except for my birthday, which was in February. And so I went from having my mother in my life every day to her no longer being there. And so for me, I know when she died, and in those days, they often, you know, kids didn't go to funerals very often. It was thought that a kid, so I never got, I really, really never got that goodbye. So I just, I think about it, and I also, there, you know, there were tensions, you know, I have black family, white family, and people weren't really getting along. And so there was a lot of trauma around it. And would I be with one part of the family or another? And, you know, there were people I was very close to, my family, that I really didn't get to see very much anymore. Because things changed.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, and I hope we're not getting too nosy, but tell us a little bit about the situation that you were then gone from your father.
I guess it's a little bit of a pivot, but when my mom died, my father
was Jewish and white. My mother was black. And at the time, I think I referred to myself in those days as colored, mm-hmm. because that's, you know, what, you know, we were, and or what we were told we were. And so when my mom died, there were issues. And my mother's family, they were very strong women, and her aunts, and they wanted me to be with them. They didn't necessarily think that a white man should raise their baby. And in the times, you can understand that they didn't want me to lose who I was, right. or who my mother was, or where I came from. And not that my father would have done that, but there were issues around it. And it wasn't even necessarily given in those days that a man would get custody of a child, black, white, or green. But specifically in this situation, a man without other kids, why would he be equipped to raise me? So they took me. And my father didn't know where I was. And they knew where I was. And they loved me. They loved me so much. But it wasn't necessarily the right decision for my aunts to make. When my father found me.
And how when you found me, how long
they
did
had
you
me,
think this
it was a couple
over?
Of weeks.
Okay.
And somehow they figured out through tracking a call or whatever, my father came to get me. We went to court. We had a long battle. And what happened is because of this, you know, it was hard to go back and forth. And, of course, the last thing I needed was to go back and forth between places. But I missed my aunts. Mm-hmm. I missed my family. I missed my rhythm. I missed my smells. I missed the sounds. You know, I miss the taste. I miss, you know, that's part of the goodbyes, too.
Right.
The things that we lose, all those senses. And not that my father kept me away, but at some point we ended up in court. And the judge asked my six-year-old me who I wanted to live with. And she took me into her chambers, a woman. Her name was Helen McGillicuddy. And the great thing is I could smile when I said her name, even though I was not the happiest person. And she asked me who I wanted to be with, and I said my dad. It wasn't an easy thing for me to say.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't an easy thing for me to say.
You need me to make this. You've never told me
that. And by the way, I don't know that that really informed her decision fully. Obviously, you know, we were there, and I remember just feeling so torn. And every day there was a goodbye. And there was a goodbye with people who were not happy with each other. What ended up happening is that, of course, I lived with my father, and my father raised me. But my mother's family was a part of my life. They came to my birthday parties. And
so
I can only imagine.
So you guys got back on track with.
Well, in some ways, yes.
Yeah.
So goodbyes aren't always for good. Goodbyes
yes.
can turn into good goodbyes, right. those goodbyes that aren't great, those so longs, those farewells. And so, you know, in that way, I was given a gift. Of being able to say hello. And there, you know, that other side of the Facebook thing is I've said there are plenty of people I said goodbye to and lost, and I found them again, and it's been a wonderful moment.
Yeah.
Boarding school people, childhood people, who I hadn't seen in maybe 30-something years. And it's been a real gift to me because it's brought me back home. And it's taught me, like you went to a service yesterday. I went to a service last week for the mother of a childhood friend, someone who embraced me, my motherless self, when I was six. And this woman died, and it was really important for me to go because right. there was a moment, even if it hasn't been in 50 years, that moment 50 years ago brought me such a sense of self and peace in a moment where I didn't have much.
I went to this service yesterday when I was a little girl, when we had family friends that we met, and the fathers worked together, and they were actually from Sweden, and we got to know this amazing family, and there was a boy a little younger than me, a girl my age. She had cystic fibrosis, so this takes us back a long time, you know, talk about goodbyes. And you know, she was one of the first people I ever knew that died. I loved her. She was my dear friend. And, I mean, when she was, like, 13, she died. And I had spent time with the family, and I have a connection with that family. Like, I love them so deeply. They invited me, after she died, to come to Sweden. I spent some time with them there. You know, I had amazing experiences with this family. And I loved this mother. I mean, she had a huge goodbye, but it informed her life in that she fueled it, you know, to become a nurse, to help take care of, you know, to really learn about kids with CF, to really fundraise for it, to create some houses in Sweden that are for families of kids going through treatment. So she took what was the hugest tragedy of her life and she turned it into something that was unbelievable. Anyways, the mother, the daughter, my friend, the father, all of them so important, you know, in my life. And our lives have been woven. And Mats and I actually share a birthday, a different year, but we share a birthday. And I feel so deeply, deeply connected to him. It's like he loved my parents. I loved his father's still alive. I knew his sister. When I went there last night, I realized there's all of these people. But in truth, I'm probably the only person in America who knew his sister. Right. You know, and he spoke so eloquently about his mother. And I sat there as he spoke about his mother in the most just beautiful regard. And I wept. I started with that kind of weeping, like, because I am weeping for my friend who's lost his mother. I am weeping for me who lost mine. I am weeping out of gratitude because we are so lucky to have loved and been loved. So I start weeping and, you know, I've been working really hard. I haven't had a lot of time off, and I start weeping, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to stop, and I'm knowing that people are like, you don't want to start making the ugly cry, you know, but I'm knowing that people are like, oh, that woman over there, she's sobbing. Anyways, it was so touching. He has these beautiful kids, and they just are all such bright lights, and it was a privilege to be a part of their goodbye, you know, to their mother and grandmother, and they did it so beautifully. And it was really, really touching for me.
Yeah, that's really wonderful because it is that, you know, generation thing that we get to pass on. And, you know, if we're lucky, and I think we've been very lucky.
Yes.
We've been very lucky, Terry.
Yeah.
To find each other. And you were a great gift to me. You know, I hope we have... You know, and I know we will. We'll have many more goodbyes, many more hellos. When I think about Louise and Carol and Marge.
The women from the center
from,
next door.
Yeah. And I think about all the goodbyes that they've withstood, the heartbreak and just everything. They've lost, you know, Carol's son, you know, or, you know, parents, husbands, friends. You know, life is so multi-layered. There's so many places to go with it, and I'm excited that we get to do it together.
Well, I love that we've had these amazing 35 years. I mean, we've done some wonderful things together. Let's just say we've taken some trips, we've spent some time. As I said about Amy, also Lori knows where the bodies are buried. I mean, you probably know more about me really than most. You're on a very short list of people who know a lot about me, good, bad, and ugly.
Well, you know, I mean. You know, there's some good things we've said goodbye to, like the 80s hairdos.
Yes.
You know, we've said goodbye to our 80s outfits and dancing.
The giant belts.
I met Terry at a time in the 80s. Our hello was Terry walking into a room with a very big coat, a belt that basically was like a crown, right, you know, at her waist. And it was big and thick and noticeable, and it announced her arrival.
I love it. Let's talk about the time that we went to the Blind Faith together, which is a vegetarian restaurant. Not a vegetarian, by the way. Love vegetables. I'm a gal that loves steak unapologetically.
It was the diner, actually. The Chicago Diner.
It was the Chicago Diner?
Yeah,
what did I call
it? Yeah, it was the diner.
It was the Chicago Diner. Uh-huh. Did I call it? Anyways, yes, it was the Chicago Diner. So, and I was wearing a leather coat. And I don't think at that point, because I was younger, that I understood the sort of complete bad etiquette into going to the Chicago Diner and wearing a leather jacket. I don't think I got what a bad move. Like, I wouldn't do that today, probably. But I was me being myself out there doing
always.
My thing. And what did you say? Just tell us a little bit about that funny story.
Terry arrived and I said, Ter, we're going into a vegan restaurant. I don't think you should wear the big leather coat. And she looked at me because she's, you know, we're both strong cups of coffee, let's just say.
We are.
And we don't always agree, which is a good thing. And she said, well, I'm just being me. I'm going to wear my coat. I'm not going to not wear my coat. This is who I am. We went into the restaurant.
Right. What happened? I don't remember. So I block everything out. That's why I have you. What happened?
They asked you to take off the coat.
Did they? Did
they
Mickey come over?
Off, Mickey asked you to take off the coat.
And then what did I do?
Well, you took off the coat.
Yeah, I think that was polite.
And guess what? Yeah. It was a time where I think I kept my mouth shut.
Yeah. Well, honey, had you called around to the restaurant to say, she's coming in, bust her on the coat. Oh, my God, it's good. Yeah, I took it off. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I have never worn a leather jacket in a vegan restaurant again. So lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
I'm a gal that can learn a lesson, although sometimes I come from the school of hard knocks. Well, I have to say you've been this year. What's been great is that you've been around. You've helped me with a project I've been working on. You've been coming in and out of town. And you are, I mean, we're lucky to have each other. You're such a dear friend. This weekend when there was so much to do, you hung by me. You're like, I'm your person and we're going to do it. And we spent the entire weekend, which as we have for the last 7 months, working. And I so appreciate you. I love that even though you're so far away, we've continued our hellos, that we are as close as we are. I mean, we talk constantly and are texting. And I don't think there's anyone who is as invested. Like, we are so invested in, like, what's happening with this in your life. We want the update, you know.
And we also want to be bossy. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we want to be bossy. Terry recently told me, this is a no. This is an absolute no. I'm telling you, I feel it.
Yes.
All the way. And if you could have seen me just now, I spread my arms. I feel it this much, as much as she could feel it. So
yeah. I said, it's the red flag. It's like Oprah is waving the red flag with her hands. It's a no, 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 no. But this is the thing. That's what real friends do, is real friends love each other. And we keep each other on track. And you have many on many occasion, you know. And you're the person certainly that also that I call. It's like, am I off track about this? Am I, where am I? And sometimes she's like, you're off track. So anyways, I loved having you here. This is so much fun.
Oh, I loved being here. I loved it, loved it, loved it. Thanks.
So definitely come visit me over at No Crumbs Left, one word, over on Instagram. And be sure to watch Lori's speech. Lori, how do we get to it?
It's on YouTube, and it's entitled Graduation 2018 Guest Speaker Larice Bell, Midland School.
But does it start with Midland School?
It starts with Graduation 2018.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic.